All right, beloved, Colossians chapter 1. I invite you to open your sword now, and if you're able to stand, let's stand together, stretch those legs, get that blood flowing down to the feet. And if you will be so kind as to read with me out of your sword, your copy of the Word of God, verse 28. Colossians 1, verse 28. The Bible says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Let's go down on number two just a hair. Let's pray. Father, this morning I humbly ask, Lord, that you'll take me as a vessel. Father, I hope this morning that I'll be a vessel unto honor and not unto dishonor. Lord, I ask that you'll move me out of the way, that you'll put your words in my mouth, that you would have me to teach and preach to this congregation. And Father, that our hearts and minds will be stayed on Thee as we progress through this message this morning. Father, we thank You for all Your provision that You've given us and for these that have gathered themselves together here today in Your house to hear Thy Word. May it go forth now, and Lord, we know it will not return to You void. May it accomplish what You want it to today. If there be one here today that ain't saved, Father, we pray You'll save them. If someone's hunting a church home, Father, and you lead them here, Father, we pray that they'll join today. Lord, if there's anyone that needs to make any kind of decision, Father, we pray that you'll help them make that decision today. In Jesus' name, for thy sake, Lord, I ask this prayer, and claim it in the name and in the blood of the Lamb, where the devil has no victory. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, I had listened to a preacher by the name of R.B. Thiem, Jr. And one of the things that he taught about was problem-solving devices. And that inspired me throughout the years to compile my own list. And one of the titles I got from him, and then another one I did. But the bulk of this is what God laid on our heart. I'm not just up here parroting something from some other preacher. Because one thing we need to understand, beloved, as I said at the beginning of this series, is that every one of us has problems. If you're lost, if you're here this morning and you ain't saved, you got problems. Lord knows. But if you're saved, you also got problems. Just because you got saved didn't mean your life's going to be a bed of roses anymore. If many things, it's going to get worse. Because now you're going to have to live in a sin-cursed, fallen world and not be a part of it. So, I felt led by the Lord a few weeks ago to start this series, and I know that this isn't your usual hellfire brimstone sermon that you generally get from me, and usually on Sunday morning that's where God generally leads me, is to preach and preach hard, because I know that a lot of times folks that make it to Sunday morning, they may not be able to make it back on Sunday evening or even Wednesday evening. But God has led me to bring out these what I call teachy preachy messages, and I know at times they can be long, but remember, you sit sometimes in a movie house for 2 hours or more and watch a glowing screen, or you sit there and binge watch on YouTube or on Netflix for God knows how many hours, and you have no fault to say, "This is boring and I just can't make it." That's bull rot is what it is. You and I have got to give God His time that is due to Him. Yeah. And that's part of the reason we're suffering, and part of the reason is we are losing in our spiritual warfare, in our spiritual fight. But let me give a brief recap. The first problem-solving device we looked at is repentance and confession. If you're lost, the biggest problem you have is sin, and that's the way you solve it. Repent of your sins, repent unto salvation, and then you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Now, how about when you're saved? Well, you still got a problem with sin. Every one of us do. And so then, how do you solve that problem? Repent, Revelation 3:3, and 1 John 1:9, confession. That means to name or cite is in a court of law, and you are entering before the throne room of God to tell Him that you agree that you have messed up, you have sinned. The second one is called the faith rest drill. That means there are times in our life when we need to stabilize ourselves and come to a point where we've got to have faith in the Lord and rest upon the promises of God. If you don't, you'll tailspin out of control, you'll hit the panic button, and you'll live in what we might call Panic Palace. And you know what? There's a lot of believers out there doing just that. They ain't got no peace. They ain't got no tranquility in their soul because they're not claiming the over 7,000 promises that God has given to you and I in the Word of God because, frankly, we don't know the Word of God. And I'm going to bring part of that out today. Then I was gone to Louisiana, and I came back, and then we started last week, proper orientation, number 3. Now, this should have been part of last week, but God decided to divide it in half here. Otherwise, we could have been here for 2 hours, or whoever knows. But anyway, last week we looked at number 3, grace orientation. You say, what's that mean? Orientation, that's a big word. You remember orientation. You went to high school. Before you went, you had orientation, freshman orientation. What does that mean? Well, you went to a new place. You didn't know your way around. You didn't know where anything was. It was a big school. And so you had to get oriented to where everything was. And that's one thing we have to do. In the Christian way of life, we have to be oriented to grace. Or, we'll say, humility. In other words, when you come inside here and you think you know it all, you can't learn doodly squat. If you keep yakking all the time, you're not going to learn anything. Now, the Bible does tell the woman to sit down and shut up, but it does help us understand something else. That's the way we men learn as well, right, men? Yes. Now, there is a little bit of psychology here too. If you look back at pulpits down through the years, now pulpits used to be, go to Jamestown, Virginia sometime, you'll find it in the church at Virginia in Jamestown. It was way up here. I don't like that because heat rises. And I don't want no hot air coming out of my mouth anyway. But I don't want to be way up there. I'm going to sweat to death anyway as it is. So I like right here underneath this air-conditioned cool vent. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, but yeah, psychology in psychology, if someone is on a platform higher than you, they're not supposed to be talking down to you, it's that they have the authority. And if you're seated, you're under their authority. And that's one thing about we looked at last week, that inside of a church, as a church member, you are under the authority of a pastor teacher. And if I am your pastor, when you're inside this church, whether here or in Sunday school or wherever, I have the biblical authority over your soul, and it is my responsibility to teach you and preach to you and feed to you the Word of God. Now, I can't order you around, and I'm not supposed to run your life. That's not my job. My job is to give you the Word of God, and then you and God are supposed to take that out there and live it before a lost and dying world, under God's glory. But there's another problem we have. And that problem is that we are living in a day and age when many people, Christians included, that they are living proof of 2, if not 3 verses in the book of Judges that say the same thing. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Let me tell you here and right now, if you are a Christian, if you are saved, and you are heaven-bound with a hammer down, as Mae Jackson used to say, this Bible is your authority. And that is our fourth problem-solving device. A lot of problems can be solved by, number 4, doctrinal orientation. You say, what's doctrine? Well, you're going to learn all about it this morning. So here we go. Number 1. You have to get the Word of God. You must be taught the Word of God to grow. Yep. Now, according to the Bible, this thing right here is more important than most of the thing we think is important. Let me share with you. Job 23:12 says the following, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lip. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So number 1, that says to me, I am to regard this Bible as more important to my well-being, more important to my soul, more important to my life than eating.
Amen. Yeah.
But the vast majority of us, we are overweight, we're fat, we don't have enough spiritual intake of the Word of God, and therefore we're more concerned about eating. Half the time, many Baptists, they get mad at their preacher when he goes past 12 o'clock. And I don't care if I go past 12 o'clock. You have the time of day, and you better give it to God at some point. If I don't see you again until next Sunday, then guess what? I have to have the time to give you the Word of God. If I'm up here chasing rabbits all morning long, then fine, throw me out on my ear. But if I'm up here giving to you the Word of God, you best heed it and pay attention, because it is for your own good. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And listen, and with all thy getting, get wisdom. Get understanding. But half the time, the silly Baptists won't do it. They're so cotton-picking lazy, they won't even take up the Word of God throughout the rest of the day. They'll throw their Bible in the back seat of the car or in the back window. They don't bat an eye about it unless they get in a pickle, if they get in a jam, or until they come back to church. They never think about the Word of God. The Bible says that we are to get wisdom, we are to get understanding with all of our getting. But you know what many of us are all about, all of our getting? We will miss church because somebody else has a hiccup. We'll miss church because somebody else has a bellyache. I don't feel like it, but bless God, come Monday morning, if you work a job, you are back on that job. Because you want to make money, you don't want to get fired from your job, and you want to make money so A, you can provide for your family, and B, you can buy crap. But yet the vast majority of people in this country, Christian, people that go to church, they don't give a hoot about the Word of God. And it shows. Proverbs 4, 5, and 6. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you despise the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, then the Bible calls you what you are, a fool. Oh, you insulting me. Well, I'm going to load down your little red wagon so much it might do you until Monday. I ain't never coming back here again. That's your right. That's your prerogative. If you want to go to a Lonely Hearts Club church, that's your right. If you want to go to a church where you're entertained and sung to, like in a concert for an hour, that's your right. But bless God, I'm not going to go to one of them churches. And this church is not going to be one of them churches. Because I know what you're supposed to get. You're supposed to get the Bible, the Word of the living God. That don't move me. That don't excite me. Well, you need to get right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 9, 10, and 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. You want to know how to live longer life? Get your hind end in the Word of God and stop sitting on Facebook for 10 hours. Stop playing some silly video game for 20 hours. And then stop watching every binge-watching show in the world. It ain't going to do you no good. And then you're going to sit there and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and everything else in the book. And then you're going to get stressed out because that person has a nicer car than you do. And that person has a nicer home than you do. And now it's keeping up with the Joneses and la-di-da-di-da-di-da. If you get in the Word of God and start doing what God says to do, He promises you'll live longer. And you want to have peace and stability in your life? You want to stop hitting the panic button? Isaiah 33:6, you heard this last week. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Wisdom and knowledge are directly connected to stability in your life. So, what is that? Knowledge is what you gain, just information. But when you apply knowledge, that's when it turns into wisdom. I'll use the old illustration that I generally use. If you're out here driving on the road and you hit a pothole, then you say, okay, there's a pothole here next to this tree near old man Wilkins' place. Next time you're coming by, you're fiddling with the radio, you're yakking, you're texting, God help us, something else, and you're not paying attention, so you don't use the information you gain, and bloop, well, you're going to have front end alignment sooner or later. You didn't gain anything by it. You had information, you had knowledge, you didn't use it. Not your fault. But now you pay attention, and you're, okay, now I need to, whoop, and you miss it. Now you are wiser, because you have applied the knowledge. You can go to seminary, you can go to Danieltown Bible Institute, you can have every doctorate, every degree in the world, and be, I'm smart, I'm Dr. blah blah. It don't matter a hill of beans if you don't use it.
Amen.
Number two, wisdom comes through absorbing God's Word to the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Our text verse said in Colossians 1:28, he says there's four things going on here. He says there's preaching, whom we preach. You're supposed to be preaching in the house of God, not this junk that they call preaching nowadays when they get up there and say, today we're going to talk about the love of God. No. Preaching. Rearing back and saying sin is sin. Well, it offended me. Well, stop wearing your feelings on your sleeves. This Bible tells me what I am. I am a sinner saved by grace, and I still sin every day. I still goof. I still make mistakes. Teaching. Warning every man and teaching every man. Now, there's a second thing you get, teaching. And then he says, in all wisdom. Now, again, you get all wisdom from the Word of God. And then, why? He says, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect? No, the word perfect, 16:11, meant complete. So you can be complete in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you don't gain knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God, then you're not going to be as complete as you could be. In other words, it's talking about spiritual maturity. You would never take a kindergartner and stick him in the 12th grade and expect him or her to pass the 12th grade because his knowledge is not yet complete. And I dare say, let me get over here, that the bulk of many 12th graders today, their knowledge still ain't complete. Because they turn school into party time and socialization time and goof off time and play on the computer time and time and everything else, and it's just a bunch of junk. I wanted to go there, get what I needed, and learn and get out of there because I didn't want to be at school the rest of my life. I didn't have to repeat the fifth grade three times. I'm sorry if you did, but eventually you got out unless you're still in the fifth grade. God help us. Let's go to school, shall we? Let's get you out of there. Okay? I mean, you may have legitimate things. You may have a hard time focusing. Nowadays, that's part of our problem. We are so visual, we don't read like we used to. I mean, we now have, many adults have the attention span of a gnat. They have an attention span of a goldfish. Like 11 or 12 seconds. You've already zoned out. You're thinking about dinner. Stop it! Pay attention! All right. Number three, if you are one of God's children, you will hear God's word and you will learn.
Amen.
John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear him not because ye are not of God. Now what about daddies? Well, daddies have a direct line on this because in Deuteronomy 6:1-7, it actually tells the fathers, the daddies, what they're supposed to do about the word of God. He says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Thou and thy son's son all the days of thy life and thy day, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now watch verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, every day you're supposed to be telling your children something about the Word of God, something about the Lord Jesus Christ, something about the will and plan of God Almighty, not just on Sunday. They need it every day. Why in the world do you think we're losing this fight? Because we send our little young'un to the public propaganda, the public school system, and they're taught about evolution. They're taught that they're no more than animals that come out of some goose and some cosmic burp some 20 billion years ago. And then if they think and they're taught, all they are is a bunch of animals that have advanced up the ladder. And yet this Bible says otherwise. And we don't do anything to train them differently. Why in the name of God do you think they're going to act any differently than what they've been indoctrinated with in the school? They're going to act like animals. They're going to behave like yahoos out there. They're going to take guns and blow people's brains out. Whereas in the 60s, when the Bible was still taught in school, high schools were full of pickup trucks in here in the South, and they'd have loaded shotguns and rifles in there because a lot of people went hunting, and you didn't have all of the carnage that we see nowadays. It is not a gun issue. It is a heart issue. It is a sin issue. Don't get me started on that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you've never taught your child about the Lord Jesus Christ, you better get cracking. You better get on the stick before you lose them. And here I say to you now, you mark well these words, if you do not teach your children about Jesus Christ, there will be payday someday. There will be a day of reckoning for you when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will give an account for what you did not do for your child. And so if you try to give them the best entertainment system in the world, well, that's fine and dandy. But if you opt to lay out of church and you opt to don't bring them to church, if you don't bring them and to the Word of God and to the feet of Christ, there's going to be, let me put it this way, hell to pay one day.
Amen. Right.
Well, I'm offended you said that. Well, bless God. You need to get some offensiveness so you'll do something about it.
Amen.
I don't beat around the bush. I don't have time to waste, neither do you. And don't think for a New York minute, I don't like to use that, the Yankees, but anyway, don't think for a second this. Well, I just bring my children to church and I just dump them off at the church. Listen, that don't matter. Mark it down. It don't matter. Your children can come to church and still leave here lost.
Right.
Just because you're sitting in that pew does not mean you're listening to what I'm saying. Does it? I can no more sit here and absorb everything in that book, neither can you. But when you come here and come here and come here and come here and get your act in order and get your priorities straight and put Him first and His Word first, that no matter what happens, I'm going to find myself in the house of God. I'm going to get my kids to the house of God. I'm going to get myself. Why bother? Because you need to be an example to little Johnny and little Susie.
Amen.
It ain't enough just to drop them off. They need to see Mom and Daddy in the house of God together. Praise God for our mamas getting their children to the house of God. We need Daddy right beside her side. And I thank my God I saw half the church empty out when the men came and stood here before this congregation. That is not the norm.
Amen.
Because too many churches have become sissified and sisterized and weak sisters.
Come on.
And the preachers will not man up and they will not preach the Word of God. And so a lot of churches, that's what you got. Women and you got effeminate men running around. What? Yes. I believe men, you're supposed to be a man. Pull up your britches and be a man. Lead your family. Don't you be led around by your ear by that wife. You lead your family to the Lord. Well, I'm a woman, and well, thank God you're a woman. But there are certain things a woman is supposed to do and not supposed to do according to the Word of God. And wearing the pants in the family is not one of them. It got a little quiet there. May I say it again? Yes. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It didn't say he'll leave it, then come back to it. It didn't say that. He said, train up a child when he is young, and then when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Right.
I think too many parents are claiming that, and they have no business claiming it.
Amen. Right.
Folks, I'm telling you, this is not time to play church. This is not time to, if I may say, pussyfoot around with the house of God. It's time to get busy for God. If I'm supposed to get this doctrine, this teaching, how do I get it? It involves humility, being teachable, as we learned earlier, and sometimes that means you have to endure. 2 Timothy 4:2-3, preach the word.
Yep.
Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but rather after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teacher, having itching ears. I know how to make any dog my friend. All I've got to do is go up to him and find that little spot behind his ear and just start rubbing right there, and that leg will start going to town, and if I keep it up, he'll follow me around. You know what? That's like a lot of Christians are, a lot of believers are nowadays. They don't want to hear preaching. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear the truth. Rather, they want to be patted on the head and say, your best life now. God loves you. He loves everybody. Yes, He does. But there's also things He hates. There's also things that He says are an abomination. Let me tell you what happens. Thanks to Amanda Swart for sending me an eye-opening article from G. Shane Marr from October 2016. I boiled it down and took the numbers out. As I've said repeatedly, much of Christendom was in the Dark Ages because the Catholics had the corrupted Bible in Latin and nobody could read it. The Bible being translated in English and German created the modern world by making the West a reading, literate, and thinking civilization. And by grounding this reading and thinking in the idea that truth is knowable. Now we are a people of high literacy and aren't reading or studying our Bible. And we are sending ourselves into a new dark age of stupidity. Please remember that Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I refuse to answer to God that this church and this congregation went around the earth, this earth, as a bunch of spiritual morons and Christian pygmies. I can preach and teach to y'all the truth. It's on CD, it's on the internet, it's on sermon audio, it is printed and shared on Facebook. But if you will not even make the move to attend church or listen or watch, then you have nobody to blame but yourself for your own spiritual blindness. Believing lies enslaves people. It should be a priority for us to continually seek the truth rather than comfort. Christ also told us the greatest commandment includes loving God with all our minds. The problem is for too many churchgoers, they don't think, they feel. They use human viewpoint and reasoning. Listen to what they said in a recent survey. They found people that go to church what they believe. And I'll submit to you now, the vast majority of people that attend church are heretics. 7 in 10 affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and 3 persons, but 1 God. 6 in 10 agree that Jesus is both human and divine, and that's where it stops. 5 in 10 believe that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God, a heresy known as Arianism, not the kind that Hitler promulgated that was condemned in 325. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe this. They believe that Jesus, or Michael the Archangel, is the first being that Jehovah created. That's wrong. That is not Bible. That is not true. 7 in 10 agree there's only one true God. 64% also believe that this God accepts the worship of all religion, including those that believe in many gods. Then you tell me that Jesus said there is one way but to the Father. He said, I am the truth, the way, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means no, God is not going to let Hindus into heaven. God is not going to let Buddhists into heaven. God is not going to let Muslims into heaven. God is not going to let the Jehovah's Witnesses into heaven. He's not going to let the Muslims, the Mormons into heaven. He will not let anyone into heaven that does not believe the biblical truth of Jesus Christ. Two-thirds admit that everyone sins a little bit, but still insisted that most people are good by nature. That directly contradicts the Bible that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This idea that everybody's good is wrong, wrong, wrong. The Bible says that I know that there is nothing good in me, in my flesh. 50% said it's fair for God to exercise His wrath against sin, but seem to waffle about which sin deserves wrath. 74% said the smallest sins don't warrant eternal damnation, in contrast to James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. 7 and 10 said that Jesus is the first being God created. 56% saw a huge increase in modern Christian, 28% up from 9%, who indicated that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost, is not equal with God the Father or Jesus, and that is a direct contradiction of the Scripture, that the Holy Ghost is God, not an inanimate force. 50% agree that God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Two-thirds said heaven is a place where all people will ultimately be reunited with their loved ones. What? All people? No, I'm sorry. There are going to be people in your family and mine that will not make it to heaven because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ.
Right,
two out of five say worshiping alone or with family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. Wrong. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching. Less than half the country can name the first five books of the Old Testament. And less than half the country think John the Baptist was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And this morning in Sunday school, we looked at John 8:7 about where the woman taken in adultery came, and Jesus said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." I was at a Living History here a while back, and that topic got brought up, and one reenactor said, "Well, preacher, I'm glad Mary wasn't there." I said, "Pardon me, why?" He said, "I'm glad Mary was not there because she was without sin." I said, "Where you get that load of crock at?" "Well, she was immaculately conceived." I said, "Are you a Catholic?" He said, "No." I said, "Then why in the Sam Hill do you believe that malarkey?" He said, "Because that's what the Bible says." "No, it does not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mary was not conceived immaculately without sin. That Catholic church over in town, Immaculate Conception, that's why it's called that. Because the doctrine of Immaculate Conception teaches that Mary was conceived without sin. If she was conceived without sin, then they teach she is a co-redemptrix. In other words, to get to heaven, you got to go through Mary. And that means every Catholic is damned and going to hell." That's what the Bible teaches. "Well, that's narrow-minded." Yes, because thee said straight, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Learning doctrine leads to the building up of hope, beloved. Hope is an expression for doctrinal orientation, an extension of faith or confidence in the future thing. Psalm 119:49, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Psalm 119:114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Colossians 1:5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." John 14:26-27, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Remember, it is not you have to remember what you have learned. It is you learn and then take the Word of God, and guess what happens? When you're in the pickle, when you're in the jam, when you need to remember what He said, it is not dependent upon your IQ. It is dependent upon the Holy Ghost. And He said, Jesus said, that the Holy Ghost would bring to your remembrance what you have learned. And the sorry fact of the matter is, the bulk of us are not learning the Word of God. And so when you get in a jam, when you get in a pickle, there's nothing for you to grab a hold of except the way of the world. And that's the God's honest truth. And let me tell you something else why a lot of folks don't want to deal with doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God. Because learning and applying doctrine will cause division. Doctrine divides. Luke 12:51, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division." That's the word of Jesus Himself. He is here dividing the men from the boys, the girls from the ladies. He is dividing us onto His side and the devil's side. Hebrews 5:11 says this, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Don't get dull of hearing right now. Now it's about the time your average preacher is going to shut off and shut down because he don't want to lose his job. I don't care. I'm going to give you the Word of God. I ain't scared of y'all. I'm going to give you the Word of God. You can come back next Sunday, tonight, whenever you want to. I get sad and I get depressed when you don't come to church. That's an honest truth. But I can't stop the show because the pew or two is empty. I've got to keep hitting it and keep going. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that goes back to Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You intake the word of God. Intake the word of God. Bring in the word of God, and guess what happened? You will cut down on your sinning. Let me tell you partly what my job is. It is to communicate the word of God. Doctrine is the primary goal of the pastor. My job is to feed you, to feed the flock. And to do that, beloved, I have to have time to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Acts 6, 1 through 4 tells us why deacons were first appointed. And they were appointed why? Because the preachers were out there waiting table. They were turned into busboy. And instead they said, let us choose out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and faith that they may minister to the widows. And what did it say? But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that's my duty, is to continually be about prayer and the word of God. I know there have been times when I have had to get a secular job. And when that happens, I don't care who he is, when a pastor has to get a secular job, and there are times that that has to happen, the flock will suffer. There's no way around it. You will suffer. Because he cannot devote his entire energy on what he needs to, what he's been called to do. And that's why I am trying my best to live on what I can get. God is providing. It's hard at times, but God said he would provide our need. He would meet our need, and I'm banking on that promise. Because I know I've got to get in here to give you what you need. I'm also involved in what? The teaching and studying for the Bible Institute. Jesus said very plainly that you would be a good minister, you would be a good pastor, if you feed the flock. Now, we've already covered that commandment that Christ gave to Peter, feed my sheep. And Timothy, Paul told Timothy this in 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The pastor has to attain to the Word of God and doctrine. Why? Because y'all need it. I cannot teach you what I don't know. I cannot preach to you what I have not studied. So therefore, every pastor has to put first in his priority the Word of God. There are times my wife goes into our bedroom and at 11 o'clock at night is waiting for me to come in there to cuddle or to rub her feet or whatever else I need to do as a husband. And I said, honey, and she knows, when I give that look, don't mess with me. Because I am in direct communication with on high. I am hunkered down there typing, I am in my book, I am in my Bible, and I'm studying. And she says, I just want to let you know. I said, I love you, I'll be there when I will. And sometimes, just 3 hours later, because I cannot stop this. Why? Because I love you. Does that mean I don't love her? Not at all. I love her. She knows that. But she knows who is first in this life. It is not me. It is not her. It is not Daddy. It is Jesus Christ. And you see, many preachers, they don't care about that. Because they'll go in there and, yes, dear, yes, honey. Or they'll grab something off the stupid internet and, God gave this to me. No, he didn't. You stole that from some website so you wouldn't have to dig down and study. And payday's going to come one day. When God called me to preach, he told me this. Let no man despise thy youth. Some of you are sitting here and I can be your grandson. Yet I have heard from almost every one of you, including one lady that used to sit there, Geraldine. She told me, she said, "Preacher, I have heard preachers, I don't know how many. I've sat under some good preachers my whole life." He said, "There are things that I have learned about the Bible that I never learned, I never knew before, until I came to Danieltown." I'm not saying that to brag on Craig. I'm saying that to brag on God. Because all I am is like this cup. I can get what I get is what he puts in, and what you get out is what I get to pour out. And if I'm too busy running around shooting Yankees, reenacting and all this, and I'm too busy civil warring and all that, and all I get is that, well, that's all you're going to get. But if I devote myself to what I'm supposed to be doing, that's what you'll get right there. That's why sometimes it takes an hour, and I'm sorry. That's one reason why I ask you to stand, so you can stretch. I try to be mindful of it, God. "But be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You say, "Well, what about the preachers that need help?" This is what he said. 1 Timothy 5:17-18. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." This church has always done that. You have always provided for me and my family by the hand of God. And I thank you for that. Because I have to do that. I have to give myself to the word and doctrine. And those are the preachers that the word of God says need to be taken care of by the flock. And I thank God that you do. I'm honest when I say that. I don't try to beg. I don't aim to beg or even say that I need this and need help there. This church in my life, in my love, I love every one of you. I don't do these things to hear myself talk. I don't do these things to make a name for myself. I do them because my Savior called me to do this. I told him he was crazy. I told him I was a stutterer. I told him that I was nothing. I know. I sin all the time. I said, "I'm not worthy to be behind the sacred desk. And I preach hard, Lord. I offend people. I get people tied up in knots all the time. I had driven people away from this church because people begin to look at me rather than Jesus." Don't do that. But what I do because God has laid it upon my heart to do this for you. Yes, you can go to some other church and yeah, you'll get out before 12 o'clock every Sunday. But is that going to do you, your children, and your family a bit of good? No. And I'm not saying I'm the only place to get it, folks. But I'm saying if God has led you here, there's a reason why. Now, another thing he tells us to do this. I'm almost done. Just hang tight. I'm almost there. Freedom is coming. Another thing the Bible tells me to do that is that we are to mark those who teach false doctrine. Paul said in Romans 16:17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have heard, and avoid them." You know what mark them means? It means to call them out. And that is why I name false preachers and false teachers. That is why I call out false doctrine and false belief. And that is why I made a heap of people mad at me on Facebook a week ago. A young lady that we've been praying for died. She was 33. And I was friends with half her family and everybody else. Well, they started putting on Facebook. I mean, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Heaven gained another angel. Heaven has gained another angel. Well, she's at home in heaven. She got her wing. I said, no, it ain't. That's wrong. And I kept seeing it, kept seeing it, kept seeing it. 5 seconds, 10 seconds, another on my news feed. Sometimes you just got to get away from Facebook, guys. But anyway, I saw that and saw that. And so here, guess who come out of the box? Preacher. I said, "That's false doctrine. I'm going to call their hand on it." I said, "You know, yeah, I'm sorry that she's dead. My condolences. I'm praying for the family. But stop saying she became an angel." No sooner had I put that out, Heather was in the bathroom looking, you know, that's when we look at Facebook, in the bathroom. Anyway, sorry, dear. Anyway, so she's looking at there and she said, your post is blowing up. I was already in my books doing something else by then. And she said, you got like 30-something comments right now. You better do something. I said, what is the matter? She said, everybody's saying you're mean, you're spiteful, you're hateful, blah, blah, blah. I said, the babies can't take it. I took it down. I apologized. I said, yeah, it's the right stuff, wrong time. I apologize. Sorry. Get a grip. But you know why I said that? Because somebody needs to take the Bible and pound some truth over these youngins' heads. Let me say that again. When your mommy died, she did not become an angel. When your daddy died, he did not become an angel. I'll say it to you now before you're grieving. When you and I die, we don't become angels. Get it straight in angelology. Get so sick of hearing that. Well, preacher, I don't care. That's not true. And I stand against lies. It made them feel better. Well, you know what? You can say that everybody's going to heaven. It made me feel better. Well, that ain't the truth. Yeah. You know why that happened? Because doctrine divides. People are going to say you're a Bible thumper. They're going to say you're crazy. You're going to say you're old-fashioned. So what? You do what you want. I know what I'm called to do, and that is to preach and teach the Word of God. He says in 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, not knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing, men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, Joel Osteen, from such withdraw thyself. That's it. Supposing that gain is godliness. Let's see. Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Sam and Jane Whaley. Yes, I said that. It's true.
Yeah.
All I got to do, Eduardo, is take him back to one verse. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nothing, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That's the most holy man that ever walked this earth. And he didn't have a Rolls Royce. He didn't have a Rolex. And he didn't have a mansion on this earth. So stop thinking you're going to get a mansion. You're going to be $1 million. Right? No, no, no. What did he say? With all thy getting, get wisdom. You've got treasure right here in this book. And you're too busy working, you're too busy doing everything else, you're too busy out there playing golf, a stupid ball you can't see when you hit it, everything else, you're too busy feeding your filth. Oh, yeah, yum, 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 yum. And you need this! Trust me, the chicken coop is going to be there when we leave. All the Baptists got out at 12 o'clock and 11:55, they'll already be cleared out. You'll be the first in line. You'll thank me later. You see? He is proud, knowing nothing. You know why he knows nothing? Because he thinks he knows it all. And he comes in and he says, well, I don't have to listen to you. I have a doctorate degree. Well, I have two. I have two of them. Anyway, moving. Who cares? I can have 50 doctorate degrees. That don't make me any better than you.
Right.
You know, let me say this. You know what a degree is? It's a rake. It's a shovel. It's a pick. It's a hoe you used in the garden, not the other way they use the word hoe. Anyway, you know, so it's a tool, right? Yeah, so you can dig deeper. Number, whatever number, I don't know now. Anyway, moving on. The flock should not be stupid. The flock should not be ignorant about doctrine. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, also said in Romans 1:19, 22, and also 28. That's why people believe sodomy is okay. That's why you see the little gay pride flags everywhere. It's because they don't retain God in their thought.
Yeah.
That's why. I was born this way. No, you aren't. God didn't make an abomination. Well, who are you to judge? I am not judging them, you moron. The Bible is judging us. I get so ill about that. Well, you are judging them, preacher. No, I use yours. You sound just like Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, you say the people ought to. You say they need to go worship. No, God said that. Moses was the messenger. And that's the way half the people do. And they say, that is wrong. Well, that's your opinion. No, it ain't. That's the Bible. Go look it up. Had one that come from this church has now converted to Buddhism. Wants to go around and around and around and around and around with me on Facebook. I said, honey child, let me tell you a thing or two. I said, this comes from the Bible, so shut it. I said, number two, I ain't got time to waste by debating you who will have a closed mind. So go be wrong if you want to. I don't have time to debate. Because I have other things I have to do. I don't have it where I can just lay around and debate on Facebook all day long. I have a job, I have a duty I'm supposed to do. Amen! All Scripture contains teachable doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. And that says the pastor has to keep on keeping on. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know what that means? I mean, there are going to be days you don't want to hear it. There are going to be days you're going to pray to God that I will shut up in 30 minutes. Well, guess what? I got to keep on keeping on. That means you have to endure it. That means you have to have long suffering. And let me tell you something. You are not the only one that has to be about long suffering. Preachers deal with whiny babies, spiritual morons, people centered more on self than God, soldiers that are AWOL from boot camp, that is, you're out of church, drifters. Drifters. What is drifters? They start strong and then they fall away. Believers who hear and never come to the truth, people who get mad at him for telling the truth, folks who play petty politics in the church, and you ain't going to get far with that here. I find out you play petty politics, you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting, and I am not going to lose, because I am the pastor of this church, and if I find a conspiracy being formed, I will root it out and I will stomp it out, because you are not going to remove me from my flock. The only way this boy is going to leave this church is two reasons. One, I kicked the bucket. Let me say three. Two, the rapture happened. Three, God called me elsewhere. And I've told about five churches and 20 preachers, God has not told me to leave Danieltown Baptist Church yet. And I don't see it happening anytime soon. I pray, Lord, don't you dare send me to New York. I can hear him up there laughing right now. New! I'll say, that ain't God! That ain't God! I just about will have to have Van a phone call from him. But here's the thing, guys. Let me put it to you this way. A lot of you do come here because you love hearing the preaching and teaching you get. I know from me. But what if God were to call me somewhere? What if I die tonight? Does that mean you quit the church? You better not. I tell him to send me back. I haunt you. I know, that's false doctrine. I know. That's just a joke. Don't you dare do that. You have got to keep on keeping on in the Word of God. Because the man may change, the messenger may change, but the truth never will. And that means what? If the pulpit ever came open, you best get a preacher who sticks to this book. And if you don't, it's your fault. Because you have peanut butter in your ears making a peanut butter sandwich when you should be listening to God. So what does all this mean? This means you are to be oriented to the Word of God. To doctrine, which is teaching. To get the teaching, you have to be humble. You have to be teachable. To get the teaching, you have to have a pastor teacher who is able to present it. And who is willing to do so. So folks, let's put this where it needs to be. First place. Not last place. Romans 12:3. Let me interpret this for you. Putting grace and doctrinal orientation into practice together. For I say through the grace. Now see, grace, the orientation. I'm oriented to God's grace. Given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What does that mean? Be humble. But to think soberly. How do I think soberly? I need to have God's viewpoint. I need to be in His will. I need to be thinking with the mind of Christ. How do I do that, preacher? You get the Word of God. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What is that? Believing the Word of God and thinking with the Word of God, the mind of Christ, and putting it into practice. That's why, folks, I'm telling you, when you come to church, you don't come here to get entertained. You come to church to worship God. You know, that's what he said. The true worshipers of God are going to worship him how? In spirit and
in truth.
He didn't say about the music.
That's right.
He said in spirit, that'd be filled with the spirit and have the truth. The Word of God.
Amen.
That's all you need. Yep. And I like to think that's what you're getting here.
Amen.
All right. As Jack Pennington used to say, I'm through now. Hallelujah! I know. I'm about to melt up here. David, you're going to come, please, sir.